Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Now, still joining us in studio are Ryan O'Mara, Fianna Fáil TD for Tipperary North, Paul Lawless, ANPU TD for Mayo, Conor Sheehan, Labour TD for Limerick City, and Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Elaine, the INMO had a survey out. They normally put out trolley numbers, but they were surveying their members as to their view of their working conditions. What did they say?
Mm-hmm. And actually, we were just discussing this as a panel before we came on air here in the green room, and it kind of does seem like we've heard it all before, even though the statistics are shocking. And it is that type of thing, a bit like housing. We've been talking ad nauseam about the crisis, the trolley crisis, the difficulties in health for decades now. It's a long time ago since it was described as Angola. But this survey from the INMO is startling. 84.37% of members who were surveyed said that they'd cared for patients in inappropriate settings in the last year, and the 85% said patients' care and safety was compromised in these settings. There's been 13,972 patients treated on hospital trolleys in January alone. So the figures, as I said, are quite stark, and it compromises both the nurses, doctors, care assistants working in these conditions, but ultimately the patients themselves. And we know that patients left on trolleys do suffer and obviously don't get the care that they need.
Worse outcomes, yeah. Yes. As Paul Lawless, that statistic there, over 84% of the respondents said they'd cared for patients in inappropriate settings, and of those people, 85% said they believed that care and safety was compromised. In other words, of the overall cohort of people surveyed, 71% of them thought care and safety had been compromised amongst the patients that they were treating. What do you make of the findings of that? And more to the point, what's to be done about it?
Well, listen, I'm not surprised by this report whatsoever. I'm from Mayo, and in Mayo University Hospital, patients are regularly treated on corridors, and some patients are lucky to have a trolley. Others are treated on chairs and on porches, etc. And I want to say that I commend and I a huge credit to the nurses on the ground who are doing tremendous work. But a trolley in a corridor or a chair is no place to be treated. And there's no doubt about it that patients health outcomes are significantly impacted by where they're treated and by the lack of staff. You know, the level of adverse incidence in the HSE is phenomenal. In 2023, there was over 100,000 adverse incidents in the HSE, and the HSE has actually paid out 2.5 billion euros over the last 10 years. I mean, you know, if we could, it's really, really disappointing. We need to ensure that we have safe and adequate staffing levels. And despite all of that, and despite, as you mentioned, Elaine, that this is ad nauseum, it's almost like this, there's nothing new here. And yet the government only recently decided to lift the recruitment embargo.
All right. Conor Sheehan, obviously you're TD for Limerick City. UHL has been one of the hospitals that's been under scrutiny for very understandable and tragic reasons. I mean, without going into any specific case, those figures that are released by the INMO today, what's your reaction to that?
Well, look, the first thing I would say is my own granddad was one of those people last year. Like, he was 88 at the time. Well, he's 89 now. He's still alive, thank God. But he was on a trolley for 5 days going around the A&E. I was with him towards the end of January, February of last year. And we saw that January was the worst month on record. And, you know, the government have promised that the HICRA review, Alan Kelly was banging the drum on this in the Dáil the other day, as he has been consistently, to be fair to him, for the last 10 years or more. The HICRA review is due in May. We didn't need a HICRA review to tell us that we needed a second emergency department in the Midwest. I mean, we know from various HICRA reports that UHL A&E is dangerous. That's not me claiming that. The reports are there. That's a fact. The Clark report states that the campus is basically completely full. We know that reconfiguration failed. The people of the Midwest were sold a pup. And like this, for me, as I said to Elaine and to Ryan and Paul before we came on air, it was like Groundhog Day when I read this report today, because every year UHL breaks its own records. We need a second emergency department in the Midwest, and we do not need a HICRA review to determine if we need one. All the indicators are there.
All right. Ryan O'Mara, the respondent said that increasing bed capacity, 83% of them said that, and recruiting more nursing staff, 80% of them said that, were key to addressing the issue of hospital overcrowding. Agree? Disagree?
I agree. Yeah. I'm representing Tipperary North, which is also part of the Midwest. So Connor's experiences of dealing with constituents or even family members there are very similar to my own. They're the similar stories that I hear either on the door when we're canvassing or people contacting me with their experiences in UHL. It is very tough. It's very tough on the staff working in there. And it's really, really tough on the families and the people that are experiencing that time on the trolleys. Continued increased recruitment is absolutely necessary, and increased bed numbers. It's my personal view as well that we need a second A&E in the Midwest region. I am awaiting the HICWA report, which we are still waiting for, and expect an interim finding at some stage in this month. But I do believe we are underserviced in ED capacity in the Midwest as well.
You'd be disappointed if the HICWA report recommended otherwise, would you?
I would, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Elaine, to go back to the first half of the programme, but you know, part of recruitment, pay and conditions, getting nurses, giving nurses the ability to live near where they work, we're kind of back to housing as one of the issues.
Yeah, we are. Infrastructure as well in general, because you can, I suppose, open a second ED in the Midwest. You can open the children's hospital whenever that may happen, but staffing it and ensuring that there is the capacity there. There may be the beds, but we've seen before where new wards are finished, completed, and they're not opened because we don't have the staff. So I think that's a big issue. But you're right. Again, if we try to entice nurses, doctors back from abroad, where are they going to live? I don't think a consultant or a surgeon or even a nurse or any a cleaner, and they're all needed, one as much as the other in hospitals, is going to be too happy if they come away from a nice life where they have 12 months of sunshine in Perth to have to be taking up the box room in their parents' house again.
All right. I'm going to give about 10 seconds each to answer this question. But what's the first priority to recruit more nurses? Paul Lawless, give us your thoughts in 10, 20 seconds there.
Pay and conditions. Their nurses and medical staff are leaving the HSE in their droves because the conditions are so poor in relation to that. Last year, for example, half of the number of medical graduates actually left this state, and they left because the conditions are so poor. We need to look after the people that are protecting our most vulnerable people.
Okay. Conor Sheehan?
Lift the recruitment cap and abolish the HSE's pay-by-numbers model.
Okay. Ryan O'Mara?
Paying conditions for me as well. I think it's clear talking to staff that it's especially younger trained professionals that are going abroad that it's paying conditions are a huge part of it. It's the number of people they're expected to treat on the wards or on their during their shifts. I think we need to look at the way in which the conditions they're working under.
Okay. We're going to go back to the listeners to give them the final word on this. In the week that we learned there are 14,500 vacant properties in Dublin, of which 4,000 are in Dublin city centre alone, that the Taoiseach chooses to target reducing protection for renters is flabbergasting, says one person to WhatsApp. We built 80,000 houses during the Celtic Tiger, says another person to WhatsApp. No matter how much money is pumped into the sector, we don't have the number of construction workers available to build the necessary number of houses. Somebody else says, I've been listening to these political debates for many years and have never heard a single new idea, says somebody else texting into 51551. And somebody else who's obviously watching on telly says, big up the Trojan Records t-shirt. That's not a reference to any of the panellists or the discussion we've been having. It just happens to be what I'm wearing tonight.